Welcome to the Podcast That Rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Hope you all are doing well on this fine V for Vendetta Day, Guy Fawkes Day, whatever you want to call it, November 5th. That's how I'm choosing to acknowledge it. For a friendly reminder for those in the chat room right now, we understand there's a lot going on in the United States, but please, please, please do not give any political spoilers or election updates. There'll be time for that later. This is a podcast that we're just going to try to focus on what we have right here and not have to deal with the insanity going on around the world. We understand it's a big old day. However, we're going to try to stay focused. We're going to try to stay on topic and distract ourselves with the shenanigans in the rock and metal and alternative world, because there's plenty enough. Everyone on board?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Also, how come I didn't get the notice that it was Beanie Day?
Sorry.
Awesome. Thanks.
You're not in the group chat for that?
I thought it was
a group.
I thought I made the group chat. Apparently there's another one that I wasn't aware of. Awkward.
The text was reply all. My bad.
Awkward. So everyone in the chat, please
CC him.
Yeah, everyone in the chat, please, please be kind and aware that we're trying to say this as a music appropriate channel, just for this chat, just for an hour. I know we can do it. I know it's a chaotic day today, but I know it is totally possible. Can I sell this any better? Can I at least put an emphasis, more explanation point on this anymore?
Big more.
I was getting close to begging at that point, so I think we should be okay. No, Gretchen, I do not want to wear your smut beanie. Goodness.
Do I want to ask?
My wife has merch because she's a Twitch streamer and also a YouTuber, and that says, is that smut? That's her merch. That's the beanie that she wears.
Oh my god! I thought it'd be like a joke beanie. Like it'd be
It is a joke. However, it says black beanie, white text. Is that smut?
I'm gonna need me one of those, please. Thank you.
Same right here.
So we're going to try and delve more into a topic that we started off last week with, as everyone, including people we didn't even know were a part of As I Lay Dying, left As I Lay Dying. That includes tour manager and others. We finally heard from one Tim Lambesis of Lamb of God. So, Alex and Rowan, have you seen the statement yet?
You said Tim Lambesis of Lamb of God.
As I Lay Dying. I said As I Lay Dying, Lamb of God. You know what? They both have big growly vocals. Whatever. I'm tired. Okay? Fun fact, fun fact, I think they toured together years and years ago, way, way before the jail sentence. So.
Probably. What was the question?
Have either of you seen the statement from Tim from As I Lay Dying?
Yes.
Okay, one has, one hasn't. Okay, that's fair. I'm going to not read the entire thing. It is a longer statement, but you'll understand why I'm not going to read the whole thing as I read parts of it. From Tim on his own Instagram account, put on all his socials, As I Lay Dying, blah, blah, blah. I needed some time to process all that has happened recently with As I Lay Dying. As I reflect, boy, is that a word, I certainly agree that there was an unhealthy environment that made leaving for a new tour with the previous lineup unrealistic. It had become difficult to figure out even the smallest details, and I admit I can stick strong to my vision for the future of As I Lay Dying, even when others think it should go another direction. Okay, so that right there. He admits it's an unhealthy environment. He understands that people left, and he understands that a previous lineup, the people that just left, could not go with him. Key thing is, though, he keeps going on and talks about, it sad to me to think about how the behaviors, communication, and patterns of interaction that led up to the tour cancellation. This is where it gets a little iffy. Phil and I no longer saw eye to eye. Okay. Creatively, financially, personally, discussions during the time prompted his decision to depart first. Now, this is where things get a little muddied, because we found out he was the last one to make a statement on leaving. However, Tim is saying he was the first to go. So that already is kind of like messing up the timeline. Unfortunately, that wasn't the order in which everything was made public, as some statements were rushed out during a chaotic time in response to rumors. So this is where I pause on this, and you'll notice a theme here, both on this and from the others. It's never said what the rumors were about, the specific actions of why everyone left, or anything like that. It is still hush hush, and Tim's not saying either. So that's, this is, as it goes on, is a big fat addressing the elephant in the room, but not doing anything about the elephant in the room. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, it's a nothing.
Kind of like saying there is an elephant in the room, but we're not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah. We don't want to tell you how it got there, or what we're going to do with it, or how we're going to get it out. But yeah,
you know, it's just like some stuff happened, whatever.
Some stuff. And of all bands and of all people, you know, some stuff has already happened. Regarding what's next, As I Die was founded on persistence and determination. For anyone who is familiar with the foundation years of 2000 to 2004, you know that more than 20 people, who I'm incredibly grateful for, have come and gone to help bring this life to vision. There have now been 20 band members, not including Tim, that have been in As I Lay Dying.
Dang.
That is so much. Okay?
There's a lot of turnover.
What was the joke from, oh man, it just left me, the parody band from the late 80s, one of the singers was part of...
Final Tap?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. Spinal Tap.
They can't keep a drummer.
Yeah, they can't keep a drummer. They can't. Except Tim here can't keep any band members. Literally cannot do it. 20 is a lot. So
there's a lot of turnover at this organization.
Through storms ahead. Go ahead.
I was about to say 20 people. If you do the math, if there's four people besides Tim, that's five entire lineup changes. At least if we're going by per like position.
Yes. And if you did include the years he was in prison, which you probably shouldn't, 20 people at roughly 20 to 24 years, that's almost one person leaving per year.
Absolutely so insane.
That's pretty intense. Through Storms Ahead, the upcoming album, November 15th, will still be coming out. It's already been finished for a while. Label says you better put it out, that type of situation. It sucks because one of the other things is discussions during the time prompted the decision to part first and all that stuff, the order of everything. Keep in mind, so many members said they morally could not stay in this band. One of them said it felt unsafe, not just uncomfortable or awkward, unsafe. That is a way bigger notice right there, but still no previous members, whether they're under NDA or not, or Tim himself. Everyone's staying quiet about it. So, without getting too graphic, you cannot make up the same thing that he already went to jail through before. What do we think Tim did? Chat room, let's hear it.
Uh-oh.
Alex, Rowan, let's make some stuff up.
Well, I don't know. Like, this is speculative. Just like the fact that like multiple people said, like, you know, it was like personal and like it was like different views on so many things. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, Tim didn't have anyone in his corner. Whatever his like his ideas were, or whatever he was like doing, he was kind of like alone there.
Yes.
Oh, that's the only thing I can sort of confirm just by based on everyone's statements, you know.
If it's the thing is though, if it's unsafe and everyone else leaves, that means the person still there was the one making it unsafe.
Do you think he was threatening round two?
See, I don't even think it was threatening round two or anything, or like saying,
sequel.
Oh, that FBI contact, I got a new one and he's not of the FBI. No, none of that.
It's like, I checked this time.
Yeah. See, the other thing that he admitted to in the past, he was on a significant amount of steroids for weightlifting and just body building and things like that. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I have no idea. I know there have been many links scientifically proven that the more you do that, the more physically aggressive you get. And I don't mean at the gym. I mean, you know, in real life with anyone.
Just the worst case of roid rage you have ever seen.
Yeah, kind of. And when you already have someone that's been to jail, it's like, oh, he's just lifting weights in the corner when we should be practicing. Oh, just leave him alone to lift weights. I promise you don't want to interrupt him. You know?
Yeah.
So
He's like that gym meme where it's like you have like the one guy who's just like going super intense. He's wearing the very baggy like sweatshirt and everyone's just like he's fighting demons or whatever.
Yeah. What happened to fun t-shirts at the gym? You know, why can't we just have fun at the gym? It doesn't have to be all this serious, deep meaning stuff. You know,
it's everyone there is now going on like a villain arc. It's a problem.
It is. It is not tons of gyms. I go to the local Y where I am right now. Even there, you get stuff like that. Like, I'll fall down so I can get myself back up. It's like, who are you trying to send this message to? You're not reading it yourself in the mirror when you lift, you know?
Yeah.
Could be.
I guess.
This is the self-affirmations for bro dudes, for gym bro dudes.
They all think their guts are berserk.
I am a strong man.
I deserve that promotion at work. Just like shouting out everything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was too good for her.
Oh, yeah. Then he starts crying.
Yeah. Oh, Rachel.
I'm going to go cry in the sauna.
Why did my band leave me? I'm not going to come up with some crazy like scenario of, oh, you know, this was going on. Because we don't know. We don't know what was going on in the band.
No one does. Literally no one. So.
No one knows what was going on in the band, but there's just got to be, you know, obviously a lot of conflict. And given the history of things with people in the band, the only people left in the band, I mean, person. It was probably just. Yeah. Exactly.
Isn't that weird to say person? So
person. You go from your first thought is thing and not human.
I know. Well.
I know he's a roided out monster, but like
possibly again, we don't know. That's the weird thing. We live in a world where we know everything about everything. When Emily Armstrong was announced for Linkin Park 6 hours later, all the stuff was posted about her. Why is no one talking about the As I Lay Dying stuff? Why is no one digging this up yet? And the answer I know.
Let's get at it.
The answer I know. And Linkin Park is a touch bigger than As I Lay Dying. I know. So,
oh, I was going to say, because you don't know who's going to get hired to make sure you don't tell anybody else.
That's true. I don't want anyone coming after me for that.
Fail safes Tim has.
Do you think he has like internet, like what is it? Internet like flags. So that way it sends him an email if someone says something about him or like says something like that. So he can like trigger and pinpoint it.
Yeah.
He probably knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
Well, that's what he said last time and he ended up in jail.
His lawyer, Saul Goodman, now.
Ooh, is that good or bad, though? Because he'd get you off, but you're in a lot of trouble for the rest of your life if he does.
I'm just saying, though, at this point, you don't need a criminal lawyer. You need a criminal lawyer.
Yeah, well. Oh, that's a good turn of phrase. Well done. I don't have the golf. I don't have I don't have the golf clap ready. Yeah. So we shall see. Tour apparently some tour dates have either been postponed or canceled, but other tour dates apparently are going to happen. I don't know what hired guns or new members he's going to have. We have not heard anything from Tim's current wife, I don't believe, because he did remarry. So I don't know. It kind of sucks that like it's still left on such a question mark after a long statement. Again, addressing there's an elephant in the room, but not doing anything about it. So.
Well, his current wife, she's at least said, it has come to my attention that false claims have been made suggesting that my husband has harmed me. And she's like, this is false. I want to make it unequivocally clear that these allegations are completely false.
Okay.
That's like the extent of what she said. Like,
okay. That's a very,
he hasn't hurt me.
Yeah. So. That's a very PR statement for that too. If like to address that. Yeah. So man, man, every band out there right now has to have some type of PR social media team. It's just a guaranteed right at this point.
Yep. Can't say the wrong thing.
That's especially true. If you have a guy like Tim Lambesis and his history.
Yeah.
The label is like, okay, we are going to have this guy just monitor you 24/7.
That's true. They probably are like, okay, we want to give you a second chance and your fans are here for you probably, but we want to make sure you don't get behind the wheel on too much social media. But even then it kind of blew up. And again, I said it last week, the people that get screwed over the most right now are those fans that wanted to give him a second chance.
That is still such a bummer.
That sucks. That sucks so much, guys. Dang. You don't want to have to say fool me once, shame on you, because there's no way you could have predicted this either. So
Nope.
It's okay. Well, I can't imagine that we'll have more weeks of As I Lie Dying updates, because after this, it's just going to be nothing after nothing. They're just going to try to move on and act like nothing's happened. I just hope everyone's safe and everyone can move on peacefully. That's where we're at right now. That's what we got right now. That's the best we can do. Chat.
Yep.
If you get, I forgot to mention, if we will hit 53 likes, we will play Festival Rocker Flop in the midst of my preamble for the podcast. I forgot to mention 53 likes, or if you do a super chat of $10 or more, or get 5 gift memberships, we'll do a random festival for you. But 53 likes is the goal. Last time I checked, it was like 24. So please, please hit the like button. Does help out a ton. And we would love to build a November 5th Vendetta Festival for you all, just for V for Vendetta Day. I'm sure that won't be chaotic and ridiculous either. So finally, before we move on, so is it Tim Lambesis or Tim Limbasis or Tim Lambesis? Anyone want to tell me?
I think it's Lambesis.
No, okay. I'm seeing a lot of people say pronunciations and stuff either. So you know what? Tim works for me. All right. Speaking of Tim, there's another Tim who left a band after many years. This one actually left his band, though. Last week, we talked about, as it was breaking last Tuesday, that Tim Herb of Primus, the drummer for decades, on and off for decades, left very abruptly through an email. Now, I'm not saying you can't do stuff through an email if you don't want to. Sometimes that's convenient communication. By the way, Dominic Noble is in the chat. Everyone, please subscribe to Dominic Noble. He has a great YouTube channel, and he helped get my computer back on track.
Thanks, Dom.
Yes.
Big fan, Dom.
So, Tim from Primus made a little bit more of a statement this time. He said it was affecting his physical life. It was affecting his mental life. It was affecting his family life. And he had to step away, and his heart just wasn't in it. He didn't have the passion for playing anymore. Why couldn't he tell the other guys that?
Yeah. What's going on behind the scenes there?
I know.
Say that in person, give them that amount of respect.
I feel that could have been done on a phone call. That could have done on Zoom. They could have done that. He could have done that.
I would have preferred, it would have even better if he just texted it. An email feels like it's a step down.
Email does feel corporate and like very sit in place and just send it.
It feels more distant.
It does.
Or like more detached. I don't know.
It does. It feels colder. It's less, taking that friend thing out of the equation entirely. It's like, this is all business now.
And they said, and they both said, both the other members said they tried to reach out to him, but he wouldn't answer anymore. But he's telling other people, like he did an interview saying why. That's cold. If like they're trying to figure out why he left and why he had left the band so abruptly and through email after a long, successful tour with Coheed, they had a great co-headliner last year. What the heck happened? Or this year, not even last year. It was this summer. Well, so what happened? And like he's that cold, so ice call, something else is going on. I get that he's just burnt out, doesn't feel anymore. Fine, I totally get it. But man, that's a statement. If you're not even willing to tell the guys you're leaving, but then you tell, just go online and tell an interviewer. I don't know.
I agree. It's there's got to be something like way back. Something happened. Somebody said something, even if they're not even aware that they said something. Something is going on behind the scenes here, because you don't. And I said this last time, you don't have a 20-year plus relationship with anybody, business, personal, both, all of the above, and cut them off like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just don't.
Yep. Especially in a situation like, and someone just said in the chat, this is the third time he's left, but both previous times they were for legitimate reasons. Like either musically. And he explained, and it was never any ill will. This feels almost ill will. This almost feels like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
No. It doesn't feel like that. It literally is, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Send.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then send the email. I don't know. Like, I want the best for Primus. They're still going to tour and perform. They're looking for their best drummer in the world. Like I said, Danny from Tool is going to fill in on that Primus performance at Tool in the Sand, that destination festival. I don't know. Everyone sucks right now. People are leaving bands for weird reasons and other people are not saying why. Then we got another band where the drummer leaves after years and won't say why, but he'll tell random people that he wasn't into it.
Now, I will
Mercury
say this.
If we have any retrograde,
like, if we have any Tims in the chat right now, you guys got to pick up the pace because, like, the famous Tims, they're doing you dirty.
Yep. There's two Tims right here with a lot, like, a lot left to offer. So let's change the letter. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to Tom. You know why we're going to go to Tom instead of Tim? Because in the year like this of 2024 and the current week we're going on, one Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine has had a lot of people try to shut him down on Twitter, and Tom Morello has had to do what he does best and really put people in his place again. One of the best spectacles you'll ever see is master's degree from Harvard, Tom Morello, degree in political science, explaining why people are stupid that come after him trying to debate politics and call him out on things that they have no idea what they're talking about. Alex and Rowan, did either of you see this? What I'm about to show you, because this was posted this week.
No.
Okay.
Oh, me.
Okay.
Excited. Love this, Tommy.
This is one of them that he posted himself, not getting called out, but this is a story that he told. Here's story time, everybody. Posted on November 3rd, so just 2 days ago. Never ceases to amaze me how many folks who have heard Rage Against the Machine are in Paul Ryan mode, having literally zero understanding of anything the band was about and even less understanding where any of us might stand on contemporary issues. Recently, was talking to a couple at a restaurant who were big fans of Killing in the Name. The nice lady said, "I love that song. It helped me rage against my parents and later against the jab." The jab being the COVID vaccine. I said, Tom said, "Ma'am, that song is about racist cops who often behave like the Ku Klux Klan in service of historical white supremacy and are bootlicking lackeys and thugs of the racist capitalist ruling class." She sat there chewing and blinking, chewing and blinking.
God,
this was an IRL situation, by the way. This actually happened.
That's like when I tell my mom what the lyrics of Pumped Up Kicks is actually about.
Oh, yeah.
A little worse, you know, like mm-hmm. My favorite is, what machine do you think they were raging against? The yep. dishwasher?
And there's so yes. And there are so many people who are just like now finding out after like a year or two, they haven't put out any new music since 1999. Everybody. How are you learning now?
Yeah. Like, what do you think the woman thought like they meant when she heard Chosen White?
Mm hmm. And like the lyrics of Know Your Enemy, did they really think that was about something else? Did they really think it was about anything other than a political stance towards someone? Oh, yeah, I thought about my parents. And then I thought about the jab. By the way, 2024 calling it the jab. Yikes, man, that's a stretch.
Ugh. That is also,
it's like almost hysterical. That's like something out of South Park.
Yes, it does, actually. Ugh. But anyway, he has had a rough couple days again because everyone's coming out of the woodwork, coming after him, and he's having to put people in his place. Yeah, so Tim, Tom, those names have had it rough. So here's hoping for the best for you guys. So let's talk about a little more positive news. You guys aren't ready for some positive news. This is good. This is good for everybody.
We need a palate cleanser.
Sure, yes, and this is definitely that. We were talking about the festival announcements last week, okay? There was a bunch of them. Well, we got an update. When We Were Young sold out. Done. That lineup went out last week. Well, it's all sold out, and they raised ticket prices. $500 for general admission. One day in expensive Vegas, completely sold out.
Yep.
Now, you think I'm done? Nope. Two of the three Warped Tour dates, DC and Long Beach, sold out, and they haven't even announced the lineup yet. Now, those tickets were much cheaper. But this is where I ask your opinions. I want Alex and Rowan to give their thoughts on this too. Have either of you ever bought a festival ticket before the lineup dropped?
No.
I don't remember. I don't think so.
Okay. I never have. Apparently we're in the minority now, because apparently a lot of people are doing it.
It's like the lineup is what makes me decide if I want to spend the money, you know?
Yep.
That's like, yeah.
I mean,
it's like, why would I gamble on that?
Yeah. Alice, go ahead.
That's totally fair, because it is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Warped Tour like you just said, comparatively, it's like a lot cheaper than when we were young was. When we were young was pricey.
Yes.
But for Warped Tour, I think just obviously the nostalgia is totally catering to everybody right now. I mean, all of us, we're totally feeding it, you know?
100%.
The nostalgia beast.
Yeah.
It's like, I was talking to a friend of mine about the Warped Tour potential lineup a while ago. And, you know, we were throwing out the same names we were talking about recently, like Paramore or, you know, some of the other ones that we'd be stoked to see. Blink-182, Paramore, you know. And my friend said something about like 90s Warped Tour bands. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't even think to go back that far. Obviously, we did not go to the 90s Warped Tours. Having that part of this equation, potential for this new Warped Tour 3-day thing makes it that much cooler. So I totally get the appeal.
That could be another wrinkle. That could be a good inclusion. And if it's a 2-day weekend at all these 3 dates, they could do that. They could remap everything. It's not the touring circus. We have to strip it down every night. They could set up, they could have a week to set up and have all the stages for 2 days. They could do a 90s day and a 2000s day. Or a 2000s to 2010s day and a 90s day and just combine them, whatever, or separate it by stage. They could totally do that. I want to put out this, though. All the radio station festivals, like, great or bad. I understand there's a big variety, depending on the part of the United States, what they can get. Those tickets are usually pretty cheap. So be thankful those happen in your area if you can go to them, no matter what they are. And they're not $150 for Warped Tour. And you don't even know what bands are going to be there yet.
Yeah.
So there is some argument to that, but I will say this, impressive. It's impressive that it's sold out both nights. And there is an argument as both are, or at least Warped Tour is through Live Nation Ticketmaster. I believe When We Were Young is too. I don't know. It is. Okay. That's what I that's what I thought. I didn't want to make, I wasn't positive. So there is the ongoing argument and it's been brought up big time, especially for Warped Tour. Bots came in and bought a lot of tickets as well. And there you will see them on SeatGeek and tickets.com and whatever else, whatever third party vendor, and you'll get to buy them after the lineup for roughly 4 times the price.
It is Live Nation. I confirmed it.
Yeah. Oh, wait, hang on. Hang on.
Okay. It would, I mean, like,
yeah.
I know some bands and, like, you know, some venues already have like a thing where it's like they try to like have like some sort of like things to curb that, like, sure, you can only like buy like one ticket or it's like the tickets are non-transferable.
Yeah.
We need to start seeing that more, if I'm being honest, because like I hate how, like, you know, you have like one guy who programs something so he buys like 100 tickets at once.
Yes.
And then, yeah, it just sucks.
Mm-hmm. It's a business model now. It's not even just a few people. It's like a racket. Like, there are companies that can do that and program it that way and then hang on to the tickets for months and then sell them whenever they want and rake in the cash after some patience. So
yeah, it's like artificial scarcity. I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it, but no. Yeah. Like,
yeah. So it's going to happen
for the Warped Tour one. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, for both of them, I think, because it is such a high demand thing and because they are all sold out. One thing for When We Were Young, because we've expected that, we've seen it for years already.
Yeah.
Warped Tour obviously knew, we haven't seen that yet. But
Warped Tour was the argument.
One of the major things is, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to buy my tickets. Well, no, because we know the lineup for When We Were Young.
Yeah, I was
going
to say,
where my brain was going.
No, I was going to follow up kind of, I think, on the point we're going to. When We Were Young, we knew the lineup, though, and we knew people were going to go no matter what, even though they raised the price again. That one I can see. Warped Tour is the one where I can see bots stepping in, because it is Live Nation Ticketmaster advertised as such. Getting your tickets there for two of those dates to be already sold out, and the only hint is a Ronnie Radke half-hearted post or something. I don't know. So
yeah,
I'm not
okay. So in some of the fans' defense, I bet some of their thought process was, okay, I'm going to buy these tickets now. If the lineup is doo-doo, then I can just sell these later because so many people want to go. And obviously, they do because it sold out.
Mm-hmm. And I'm fine.
True.
I'm,
yeah, but then like.
Good.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
True. Yeah. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I never want, at least personally, I never have that mindset where it's like, oh, okay, I'll sell my tickets later on, because like, it's just like not guaranteed or something like that. You know, it's still like there's still like the off chance I might just not be lucky enough to find a buyer. And I'm just like, I have these tickets I cannot use. I'm out of like a couple hundred.
And it's true.
And it's totally, It's totally true. And it's depending on which side you're on. Like, if you're kind of on this side of the fence where it's like, I really want to go, but if the lineup sucks, but then you're like, you know, maybe I can't. It's if you're kind of teetering on that side of the fence, it's like, OK, I can sell these later, or the lineup's going to be awesome. You're going to fall on either side.
And I also do feel like a little bit personal to, like, especially towards the DC one and the Orlando one. If you're local to those areas and you know it's coming, you're going to be more likely to buy them anyway. That I get.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, if you're not, if you don't have to worry about a hotel airfare, you're only paying for the ticket and parking, you're going to be more likely. And I totally get that. But if there's only 3 days, especially the Long Beach one, people are traveling for that one. When we were young, people plan all year for a very expensive weekend. So, I mean, this is good. I hope the bands get a fatty cut. I hope they actually get their pay and it just doesn't go to the Live Nation CEO. But
hope so too.
Yeah. Oh, I got a quick side note. So last year there was a big press release. We're going to play a game of guess how much. Guess how much the Live Nation CEO makes salary every year. And I know this was verified last year because it was like on the stock and statement reports and I looked it up. Guess. Alex, you're first.
60 million.
60 million. Rowan, what's your guess?
Oh, I was going to lowball it way more. I was going to say like 20 million.
20 million. Fair guesses. Technically, Price is Right rules. Alex wins. But you're both so low, it's not even close. $139 million salary.
Holy cow.
Why do you need that much money? If I had that, like, if I had that now, I would be doing literally nothing.
That was in the end of 2022. So it's like 2022, 2023. $139 million salary, not net worth, salary. So when you see, all these people having to pay so much money for concert tickets, where is it going? Well, guess what? Yeah.
Right there in that man's pockets.
I don't need that. How do you spend that much money? That's what I don't know.
Oh, S&P Global, so perfect. They had, like, there's a quote from Google. $139 million or 5,414 times the company's medium employee pay. So the average employee of Live Nation gets paid over 5,000 times less than the CEO salary.
Oh, I hate that.
Aren't you glad I kind of added that with the Live Nation argument? So,
yeah, corporate.
I know that's my best example of like what corporate greed can do to an entire not organization, not just employees, but to an entire realm of business. Yeah, music business, music industry. So
with that much money, I can only I am positive that this man has like an actual like Scrooge McDuck money vault that he just jumps into like a pool in his house.
Diving board. Yeah. I mean, I literally do not know how I would even spend $139 million. And that's a year. That's 1 year.
Yeah.
So
I might as well do that if I have that much money.
I do wonder what his day-to-day workload is like. I just can't imagine it's so stressful that it warrants that much money to compensate.
And if it does, you can retire. You can retire because $139 million a year.
Oh, yeah,
you're set. Your great-great-great-great-grandkids are set.
Your toddler children can retire at that point, too. So,
yeah.
Working hard.
Your entire lineage will never have to work again.
We talk about like he probably just has AI send out emails for him and he just sits back and does nothing. So
sitting on my Mai Tais.
Mm-hmm.
He's drinking at like 9 o'clock in the morning because he can.
Why wouldn't he? He has other people doing the stuff for him.
I would.
I've earned this, yes, at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday after Warped Tour sells out. So
yeah.
Oh, he makes some of that Warped Tour money cut. He definitely makes some of that Warped Tour money cut. Absolutely. He helped partner. They probably helped partner that whole thing.
The monopoly on the industry bothers me so bad. There is it's such a bummer because all of the money, all of these festivals, all of these shows, everything is just whoop, right into that funnel, right into his pocket. He's not sharing it.
Oh, no, no. I also think about this, too. Say he cut off $39 million a year. He said, you know what? Take $39 million a year. Give me $100 million salary. I'll sacrifice. Take that $39 million and divide it up with every single employee in my organization. He would be the biggest hero.
You would be a saint amongst like the millionaires.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he wouldn't miss it. How could you? So,
everybody working at Live Nation would be like, oh, my goodness, I love working here. This is the best job ever.
Everyone would work there until they retire. Yeah. Like they would work there until they retire and they would have their kids try to work there. But no, $139 million salary. And that's why concert ticket prices are so high. So
thanks, guy.
I love this country. Again, not trying to make things political.
No, that's a different argument. That's not. That's not even corporate greed. Corporate greed is bad, but that is an obscene amount. So let's move on to
In the dictionary
of greed. Yeah.
Of corporate greed.
Yeah.
This is a picture of the Live Nation CEO
with his feet on his desk and he's sleeping, taking a nap in his like penthouse office.
He's he's lighting a cigar and he's using a copy of like Superman issue one to like light the flame.
It's super like what expensive. Krusty did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the initial vinyl pressing of When We Were Here by Pink Floyd. He's lighting the cover of that on fire to light his cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. Thank you, Manigo Montoya, for the super chat. We will give you a Manigo Montoya for Random Festival later. Thank you very much.
Well, my father
prepared for a festival. Yeah. Yes. Let's go to a positive festival thing. And this is something unique. Welcome to Rockville is going in a different route for their festival announcement this year. Sonic Temple lineup we already have. We have so many other lineups. Instead of going band by band, day by day, or giving off waves of certain things, they're going by stage. This past week, Welcome to Rockville announced the Stage 5 lineup for Thursday. What does that mean? Well, that first day, May 15th at Welcome to Rockville in Florida, they announced the lineup for that stage. Headlined by the Dillinger Escape Plan, Quicksand, Health, Death, Heaven, Converge, Full of Hell, had to take me a second, Harm's Way, and Candy. I had to lean in and look just to make sure I had it right. So, I've never seen a festival announcement do it this way. What do you guys think of it like this presentation?
Okay.
It's something different, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it's funky.
It is. Like, I, for one, am not a huge fan of the day-by-day announcement where you announce a different band every single day for 2 months straight. I'm not a fan of that. It just gets dragged on. It just gets dragged on way too long.
It's like just because part of your routine or something. It's like, okay, fine. I'll open up Instagram and see. Oh, okay. This band got announced. Okay. Coming back tomorrow.
Yep. And that's it. And
still don't know if I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you won't know until like a month out anyway, when you have enough bands to really make a decision too. This I at least appreciate. All these bands have a somewhat similar vibe to them. At least the same ballpark, all on the same stage on the same day. That way you can kind of gauge that. So you know what? It's something different. I'm fine with it. So Sonic Temple didn't do this. I can't imagine the other DWP ones will, but it's something different. I'll applaud creativity for just trying, you know, we're so
flooding. Like,
go ahead.
I think doing like hype for a full week, like, ooh, something coming this weekend, and then just doing a full weekend rollout would be fun. Mm-hmm. But I think dragging it on too long is too much.
Yeah. So at least this will be done. It doesn't say when they're all going to be done, or at least I haven't seen it yet. But at least this is a group of them, you know, that way you'll know. So we just get flooded with so many festivals now in the same presentation, the same format. This at least sparks a little bit of attention. And it's a DWP festival. This is one of the biggest ones for Welcome to Rockville. It's going to sell no matter what. You know, so we shall see what Florida gets. Keep in mind, you have to go to Florida for it. Take that for what it is. However, it will do well for the Floridians down there. Have either one of you been to Daytona?
Nope.
Nope.
Keep it that way.
What time of year is the festival?
May. Oh, it gets hot. It hot? And then it gets
so
raining.
We're on the cusp of summer. Yeah.
It's on the cusp of summer. And also, not only is it stank hot, that's the start of the rain season where it downpours for an hour and a half every afternoon to like roughly 3 p.m.
Great.
Like clockwork. It's been that way for like when I live down there. So that way, huge downpour every day. And then it's super humid as soon as the rain stops for the rest of the day in 100 degree weather.
I mean, like, I guess you don't have to worry about like sweating too much, though, because you'll just have like a giant shower whenever you want.
You would think, but it eventually does stop unless it's the hurricane stuff, because Rockville has had a lot of days canceled on them. They had one last year, if I'm correct, at least one day. So it does happen, but it's Florida and that's the only shower some people take. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's disturbing.
It's Daytona. I assure you I'm accurate with my description. So
the Florida man memes are strong.
Are accurate. That's not Florida man memes. That's the news. That's just the news down there. So we now go on to a brighter spot of hope. We've been talking about the Netflix documentary for Static X, or not Netflix documentary, but a documentary for Static X. That's going to be kind of cool. Edsel Dope had a good little statement, and Alex, I know you are more of the Static X aficionado than I am, at least a little bit more. Do you know anything about this, like what Edsel Dope said, how he wanted to reconnect Static X without feeling guilty about it? Because I wasn't aware of this part of it.
I just thought the whole thing that he had to say was super cool. Mm-hmm. You know, harkening back to when both bands kind of got their start, and mm-hmm. you know, he was like, both bands, you know, our bands were always touring together. We were always hitting the road at the same time. You know, it was Dope and Static X, Dope yep. and Static X, Dope, Static X and Power Man 5000. Like we were all hitting the road at the same time and we, you know, got close. And it was really part of that defining time for all of our bands. And just I didn't know how deep of a connection he had with Static X, I suppose. So hearing him talk about these things and go into detail of wanting to, I mean, pretty much just pay homage to his friend.
Yeah.
Really, really struck a chord with me. I'm like, okay, this is a different perspective on Zero, you know, the character yes. in this new Static X, you know, rendition, whatever we may call it, resurgence. And I kind of like it better now hearing Edsel talk about his personal relationship with the band and the guys and just all of the stuff they did. They toured so much together. He says he toured like 250 shows together in the span of their first album alone for Dope. That's a lot of time spending together. Lot.
Yeah. So
I definitely have a little bit more of a positive view of this whole thing, of this whole Zero Static X thing.
Yeah.
I really dig it.
It is such a nice appreciation and continuation for a band. It by no way is it meant to just move on. It's like, yeah, Wayne Static, he made the band. But here we are now. They make sure Wayne Static's brought with it. I don't know. I think that's a very nice way to look at it, too.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a tribute than anything. And yeah. I like that part of it. It's not trying to replace Wayne. It's not trying to, you know, take anything away from what Wayne did, because Wayne was a massive major part of Static X. He became the figurehead.
Yes.
So this is cool. And I like that Edsel respects that Wayne was such a big part and he pays respects by playing this character.
Yeah. So it's nice to have nice little stories, like good little news and not everything awful. Isn't that nice? It happens. I swear it happens, they're guys. Rare. I promise it does happen. So before we get to our albums and upcoming albums and upcoming tours that got announced this week, one final thing got announced, and I don't want to step on too much for the upcoming tours, but this is technically a festival on the water. The third Headbangers Boat was announced, Lamb of God's Festival on the cruise, featuring Clutch, Kublai Khan, Obituary, Devil Driver, and more. All I've heard is that this is the heaviest cruise, and everyone loves it, drinks way too much. Everyone gets a photo op with every band. They're all the bands are just hanging out with you, all the fans at like the restaurants and all the stuff. It's just a big metal-loving cruise in the middle of the ocean. So you know what? If that's your thing, go hang out with Lamb of God in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
I gotta say, sounds though, you like talk about Florida. You talk about Florida, though, being like stinky of like the humidity and the rain, though.
Yes.
You got, think of this, though, like the motion sickness, the alcohol, and the headbanging. I'm gonna imagine a lot of bodily fluids on that cruise.
I mean, it's
well, a when you put it like that.
Well, it's a cruise in general. Cruises aren't known for people to be well reserved and well behaved. Oh, we got to keep on our manners here while we're on the boat, you know.
Oh, no, I just mean like people are just going to be throwing up all over the place.
So have either of you been on a concert cruise?
Not a concert cruise.
I've been on Shiprocked. I got There you go. I shot Shiprocked in 2018. That was like what everyone keeps saying is the best lineup that year. Also, that was Stone Sour and In This Moment and Star Set and Nothing More and a bunch of others. Anyway, Stone Sour was great as always. That was seeing by the last day, seeing how far people go on a cruise, just passed out in the middle of floors in public areas, not being able to be woken up. Like not even able to be like lifted, you know, that type of like drunken passed out. So it gets intense.
It's like at that point, you're like thinking like, is that guy dead?
Kind of. Like they were like medics, like because they have medics on boat. Medics like will start coming up and they have to like try to get them out because they don't want like just like these random people sleeping in the middle of like restaurants and the casino and the theater and all this other stuff. So, yeah. Yep.
Well, was it fun?
It was that year was great. I've heard mixed things in the years since. I've not been since, so you have to ask them. So it's another thing too, because like with cruises, we talk about how expensive festivals can be. Cruises are way more expensive. So just keep that in mind. I was given offered a comp room for 70K tons of metal 2 years ago. I couldn't make it just because of the dates. I've heard the same thing. So depending on the lineup, they're fun. So long as you can stand it, you know, you don't get too motion sick. And yeah, if you make sure the bands are your vibe, you don't want to go on a cruise like the bands and the fans are not your vibe, because then you're really going to hate it.
I just got to say that kind of money.
Yeah,
I got to say, just like in general, I hate when I like when you're on a cruise or a boat or whatever, you just look out into the ocean at, like at night and it's just literally pitch black no matter what you see.
Yeah,
it's like a horrifying to me.
See, that's the thing. At night, I'd be like, let's just stay inside the main floors, because like those cruise boats are like the size of hotels now. So it doesn't even matter.
I don't like boats. I don't like cruises.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chris Jericho has a wrestling cruise, which is Rock and Wrestling, which is apparently like 90% male and drunk. And there's wrestling and concerts, like he has his own band Fozzy plays. I don't know if I'd go on that one. I don't know.
You need Limp Bizkit to play on that cruise. That would perfect it.
I believe they played on Shiprocked 1 year. So I'm sure it's happening.
You guys want to hear? I'm going to admit this. I probably shouldn't admit this live, but I'm going to admit it to you guys. Don't tell anybody else. No, I don't care. I was so stoked 1 year. I saw Kesha was doing a cruise and I was like,
My wife wanted to go on that. Yeah.
I wanted to go on the Kesha cruise so bad. I was like, okay, I can get tickets. I got to save up. I got to do this. I got to do that. And it was like, I was ready to go. And then I think it was like COVID or something and it didn't happen. And I was so bummed.
I feel like they would try to like find an actual unicorn to put on that for a Kesha boat. Just somehow do the wildest stuff. Yeah, they would have tried. So
yeah.
Now we move on to upcoming tours and albums that got announced this week. Alex, do we have any tours that got announced this week?
We have Killswitch Engage. They just announced a spring 2025 tour with Kublai Khan, Fit for a King, and Frozen Soul.
Heavy one.
This one kicks off. This is a nice one. This is a really good lineup. It kicks off March in Nashville, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Very cool.
We've also got a couple others. We've got Dismember and Exodus to headline their Decibel Magazine and Beer Fest Philly. So it's beer and metal
in Philly
happening in 2025.
Man, oh man, you better have health insurance. Oh my goodness. You better be prepared for something like that. Woof.
It's going to be so okay. These guys are like Swedish death metal, right? Mm-hmm. So they're headlining this first night and they're performing their album like an ever-flowing stream.
Mm-hmm.
This 1991 album, they're doing the full album.
That's cool.
And they just have all of this stuff lined up. So it's going to be a really fun festival. Don't miss Decibel Magazine and Beer Fest Philly.
Survive Decibel Magazine and Beer Fest Philly. Yes.
Yes. Check in afterwards, please.
Yeah. Let us know you're okay. So
make sure you tell people where you're going and when you're going back.
We'll play Mom and Dad's. Mark, yeah.
You tell us. You better text us when you get home.
You better text us. You know what you're doing. So.
Heart also announced supporting acts for their 2025 North American headlining tour. They're going to be joined by Squeeze, Cheap Trick, and Lucinda Williams. Oh. And then this one's not really a tour, but Linkin Park did announce a bunch of From Zero listening parties. So they're doing this a bunch of places, a bunch of record stores all over the U.S. on Saturday. So November 9th. So you just got to check and see if a record store near you is participating, but they're going to be listening to From Zero in its entirety before Street Date. So that's pretty neat if you're stoked about that album.
I was going to say Judas Priest did the same thing for their album that came out this year at a lot of different record stores and like metal places. People love it. Like it's an event that you go to and just listen to the new album before it's released. So
if I remember correctly with the new Metallica album, they did theaters, or at least like I knew theaters that kind of like did that too.
Metallica, yeah. I can see that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. We had some fun events for Fear Inoculum when Tool? Like we had listening parties for that one. Yeah.
There you go.
That was a lot of fun. So if you dig, you know, Linkin Park and you're stoked about the new album, listening parties are a ton of fun. So find one near you. International dates will be announced soon.
Yep. Awesome.
That's it.
Okay. Rowan, how about albums coming out this Friday, which would be the 9th?
This week is very, very dry, if I'm being honest. I only found like two names worth mentioning, honestly. We have The Body with The Crying Out of Things. And then we have the band Miracle of Sound releasing a compilation of best ofs from 2011 to 2024 called Materia.
Okay.
That's really it. I'm sorry. It's just like, it's very slim pickings this week. But I promise, without giving anything away, next week is going to be filled with like some heavy hitters.
Next week's the big one. Yeah, for sure.
Next week is the big one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very awesome. Also, Alex has our song of the week. If you want to go ahead and hype that one up, Alex, go for it.
Oh, I forgot which one I picked, Luke.
Okay. Well,
I was listening to like 10 of them.
You're unlucky.
Sunflower Bean.
There you go. I was going to try to hint to you, give you a hint.
So it's Sunflower Bean. I accidentally stumbled across this band and I don't remember what the song I picked was.
You're on. Well, it's unfortunate. The Not Letter was the song that you picked. Unfortunate Letter.
Lucky Alphabet.
Lucky Number.
Lucky Number. Okay.
Lucky Alphabet. Lucky
Number. What did I, you know how, okay.
As a third party, that was so awkward.
Remember how back in the day you used to listen to CDs and you didn't know what the tracks were called because you just had the CD and the player? That's how I listen to music, okay? I don't know what the tracks are called.
Okay, fair enough. So,
whatever.
Sunflower Beam, Lucky Number, just came out less than a month ago and their EP is out right now.
Yep, I heard this track and I was like, this is very Veruca Salt vibes. I'm digging this a lot. So if you like Veruca Salt, I highly recommend checking out Sunflower Bean.
Very cool. That'll be on the post and on the links that you guys see. So thank you guys so much. We just hit 53 likes, like literally as I refreshed. So I think we're ready. Is there anything else we need to go before we start booking at least 2 days worth of festivals?
I think we're good.
All right. You know what? It's time for our November 5th shenanigans for festivals. When we hit a like goal, this time it was 53, we book a 5-band festival and we're trying to make money. We also got a very nice donation from Inigo Montoya, who wants to have his own Montoya festival and right before the wedding for the bride, Princess Buttercup and Prince Wesley. You know, it's going to be a nice little thing. So first, Vendetta Fest, because it's November 5th. Man, oh man, I hope today's a good one. I just feel like we need something positive to end with, you know? I feel like it's not asking too much. So.
Okay, you know. don't say we need a good one, because then the AI is going to hear you and give you, like, As I Lay Dying, first choice.
I don't even know if As I Lay Dying's in here. That's a good question, though. I don't remember if they are or not. Yeah, I don't know. I've never shot them live. I've seen them live. I've never shot them live. But there's other bands in here though that I've never shot either, so I'd have to look it up. Anyway, here's proof that I'm not cheating, everybody. First off, 5 bands for Vendetta Fest. Queens of the Stone Age. We're starting off pretty strong.
Okay.
We're starting off pretty strong. Our festival's gonna make money right away. Number two. A band not a fan of me, 30 Seconds to Mars. Well, that boy, is that a weird combination right there, by the way. This is a very Coachella vibe right now. Number three. Our favorite photo of the Dillinger escape plan, who's come up at least three times. It's been a little while since we got it, but it's one of my favorite photos. Number four. Architects. So we got two very different in tone from Queens of the Stone Age and 30 Seconds to Mars. And number five. Of Mice and Men. So we got like our core stuff, then 30 Seconds to Mars, then Queens of the Stone Age.
Man.
Alex and Rowan, give any thoughts you like as I make the poll. I'm curious to see what our audience thinks of this one.
I mean, I would go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say what you will, but 30 Seconds has some good tracks, you know.
They do. And I hear they put on a big spectacle of a show.
Yeah.
And with Architects and Of Mice and Men, this is a good lineup.
Mm-hmm. I think this will be a good money-making festival. I think people will enjoy it. 30 seconds in the chat. It does, like, enough of it works too, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a big collaboration with the Dillinger Escape Plan and 30 Seconds to Mars. Let's just make it weird for everybody. So, poll is open right now. Thank you guys hanging out on a very, how do I say this, wild Tuesday evening in the United States. I know there's many other distractions going on right now. We're happy to distract you for just a little bit. Very nice. I would go to this as well. Even if I'm not a fan of everything that every band has done here, this is still a festival worth going to. I don't know how it fits the Vendetta theme, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay.
Well, actually, 30 Seconds has a vendetta against you.
Apparently. wait till later this month where I release another downfall video.
Oh, no.
This one deserves it, though. So... that's all I'm going to spoil it. That's a little spoiler for all of you listening to the podcast.
Some exclusive content.
Hey, the last time I didn't know I was going to make an enemy, and I was super complimentary in that video. This upcoming one, so
it's like you're going to war. All right.
Apparently, we have the poll with, as soon as it stops because it's YouTube, 80% saying yes. Very nice. We now go to our second day, which is Minigo Montoya, not Inigo, Minigo with an M. Minigo Montoya, a mini Inigo Montoya, if you will. Like he's very tiny, like a puppy. Like if you name a puppy Inigo Montoya. First up for Montoya Fest. Pop punk band from Canada, and they are excellent.
Oh, yeah, I love Pup.
Pup is awesome. They're like some of the wittiest writers. Like,
The really Dream Is good. Over, great album.
Yeah, great stuff. So check that out. Pup, number two, Of Monsters and Men. I'm already going no matter what.
All right.
From Iceland. We got Canada and Iceland, our northern countries. Number three, Incubus. There is a vibe to this concert already. Number four, Steel Panther. The vibe has changed drastically. Okay, then. Steel Panther, Incubus, Of Monsters and Men, Pup. And finally, for Montoya Fest, Palais Royal.
Nice.
I would go to this. It's interesting for sure. There, like, this is definitely like a West Coast vibe feel to it. Do you guys understand what I'm saying with that? There's more of a West Coast feel to this one. I would still go. Would you go to Montoya Fest? So we got.
I've seen Incubus recently, and just them alone, like they put on a great show.
They do. I saw them last year at the St. Louis Festival Station Festival. They were still sounding great, you know.
Yeah.
As they go on over in time, they were at Riot Fest 1 year too. Not this year, but last year. They also sounded good there too. Of Monsters and Men, Incubus. Oh man, my brain's already going. Pup, Palais Royal, Steel Panther. We'll have Steel Panther play first, just to rile everyone up before they're calmed down and mellowed out with Incubus and Of Monsters and Men. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Get the joke band out of the way. Yeah.
Yes. I think that's very fair. Also, I didn't know the singer of Steel Panther's like in his 50s. He looks really good for his being in his 50s.
other 80s metal singers.
They have not aged as gracefully. They have not. So as we get on with all of this, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We'll wrap things up because we were right at the hour mark with no computer problems. Thanks to everyone that did spread the word about my computer melting. Literally, I got the old processor right here that I have to send in. So as we wait for the poll, Alex, is there anything you would like to close with before we wrap things up?
I have a random fun fact. Michael Starr was also in that awesome movie that everyone needs to watch. Rockstar, remember?
You told me about that. Yes, I have not been able to see it because life has been hectic.
Well, of course. Rockstar, but Michael Starr of Steel Panther also makes a cameo in that film.
Very cool.
Sick.
Rowan, how about you?
That's all I got.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be a while before it comes out yet, but just kind of like a thing, like I am in a band, and this weekend we are actually getting in the studio to record our debut single. So,
very cool.
You know, here's the name right here, and, you know, just kind of like be on the lookout for that. We're really excited.
And once we get the link, we'll share it out too.
Awesome.
Very cool. The poll has it a few percentage points higher, if I'm YouTube is correct, as it finalizes everything. 83% said yes to Montoya Festival.
Yay!
2 days worth of festivals, no like trash bands thrown in. I'm happy with this. You know, this is exactly how it should be. So thank you guys for tuning in. There will be a video next week about Linkin Park, not just an album review, but an actual video discussing the future of Linkin Park and uncertain everything. There's more stuff coming this month. Thank you guys so much for your support. We will be back next Tuesday. Keep sharing the link. It does help a ton. Share it Spotify, Apple, YouTube, whatever it is. Tell your friends. Tell people in your family. This Thanksgiving, sit around until you found a podcast and make sure everyone subscribes. Just have passed around the phones. Don't act like that's not a thing you can't do because it totally is. So as we fade out, Alex, do you have a joke and or riddle or anything you would like to close with?
Well, okay, so here's the deal. There's a virus making people forget 80s rock bands.
So?
Nobody knows the cure.
Oh my God.
I at least get that one. Like, I don't have to think too hard. Also, it was appropriate because The Cure just released their first album like in 16 years, and it was
some
really
dude
good.
Literally just said as you were saying it, and man, that Cure album was sick.
Well, there you go, good timing. So,
oh my God,
you know, I'm gonna take that more as a promotion for The Cure and not a old timey dad joke, not even a dad joke, an old dad joke. Nobody knows The Cure.
Nobody knows the cure. You're back in my day.
Back in my day, we used leeches. Jeez.
All you needed was some good bloodletting.
Oh, God.
Back to the sickness.